Hello, 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 good evening. This is Nemo and it is about 10:30 in the evening in London. How are you doing? It's been a minute, but I do have to apologize. Things have been happening and just trying to recover and recuperate and find out how I am doing within myself. Here's a question. How are you doing? And have you done something to take care of yourself? I was just sitting here and there are a couple of things that I wanted to share on the wisdom app, but the one that first came into my mind is the servant's heart. Heart of a servant. And I know some people are coaches, some are mentors, some motivational speakers, others are preachers and teachers. And this is also a challenge to myself, is whether I do have a servant's heart. Why do we do what we do, and why do we share our stories? The reason we share our stories and our wisdom is we have to share for the next person. It's never so much about you or your kith and kin. Sometimes it's about the next person who hears about your journey, your failures, your strengths, your bumps, your obstacles, and also getting to know you. As a Christian, I think one of the biggest challenges is to develop the heart of a servant. I've been mulling in and out about, wondering, how did Jesus do this life? You know, he just seemed to be calm and easy. Carpenter's son, went to the synagogue, and then he went walk about, he taught. He just seemed to be easy, just easy. And I wonder why. Sometimes we struggle against the peace and the easiness of walking with God. I don't know what you do, but I am a published author and I'm actually writing my second book. And one of the things that, for the first time really, and I'm sure I thought about it before, was why am I writing this story? Why am I writing about grief? This is my second book, and I'm writing it for a sibling, another sibling, because I lost my baby sister last year, and it's still overwhelming. It took me down the path, story of the Good Samaritan. And as a person who has an invisible illness, life is very lonely, because people get on with their life, your life changes, or my life changes. If you're out there and you have an invisible illness, shout out to you. I'm out here, I hear you, I see you, I pray for you, because I understand how difficult it is when your body starts betraying you. Living with lupus, as I always tell people, sometimes feels like you've been given a death sentence. And you just never know when the body's just going to go haywire, or the immune system, although suppressed, can just decide to play out. And I walked down a dusty road towards Jericho. Jericho was a city that was never rebuilt after Joshua and the Israelites took it over. It was never rebuilt. So it can imagine the ruins in the dust of Israel. And a man is leaving to go home. And somewhere in between, he's attacked by a bunch of bandits. He is robbed. Can imagine he's probably walking on a donkey, dusty legs, tired, trying to get into an inn before the night. But somewhere along the road, a couple of bandits attack him. And I think this man was alone. He was afraid. Can you imagine yourself on the dusty roads of life and you're heading somewhere? Something happens. You lose a loved one, you get a diagnosis, you lose your job, COVID, you know, anything on that dusty road attacks you. What was interesting in the story as I observed it from a distance was, first, the priest saw him and passed by. I guess he was in a hurry to go and give his sermon somewhere. Then a Levite passed. Probably he was in a hurry to do the sacrifice, who knows. But these were religious leaders, and they passed a man who'd been attacked and probably was wounded. And I wonder, where was their servant's heart? The heart to serve a priest and a Levite. And along came a young man or an old man, I don't know, they don't say. We'll pretend he's middle-aged, probably 40, going wherever he was going, probably in the opposite direction, and he finds this man beaten up and wounded. He was a Samaritan. If you know your biblical history, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were considered outcasts, yet many of them had Jewish ancestry, and maybe because of the Babylonian mix, they were outcasts. But this outcast stopped. He stopped where he was going. He got off his donkey, walked over, tended to this man, cleaned his wounds the best he could, and then he put him on his donkey. He hastened and took him to an inn, and he asked the innkeeper to give him a room. Now remember, he didn't know this man from Adam. He put him in a room. He paid for it. Sure, he had him cleaned up, fed, and then went downstairs. I'm presuming the inn was probably two floors. I have a vivid imagination, by the way. On a hard bed, this man has been washed, he's been cleaned, he's been fed. And the Samaritan, the outcast, left and told the innkeeper, I have paid until he gets better, and then I will come back. And I thought, why is it that the help that most people in the pews of the church comes from outsiders? I won't call them outcasts, I'll call them outsiders. This man had a servant's heart. He didn't know him. Yet he stopped. He stopped his business, tended to the wounds of the man on the road, went as far as putting him in an inn, paid for it, and then assured him that I will be back. How many times have you had an outsider tend to your wounds? How many times have you tended to the wounds of another who is not like you? A servant's heart does not look at anything else than to serve. This Samaritan probably knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they believed that the Messiah would come from the line of David. They hadn't met the Messiah yet, but the Messiah was telling the story. We do a lot of work to help others, whether you're a coach, a motivational speaker, a writer. But do you have the heart to clean the wounds of others? Or are you just telling them a story and tools? Do you kneel down and clean the dirt away from the wounds of others? Have you had anybody clean your wounds? Can you imagine being attacked? So there's a beating, bones are paining, maybe there's a gash, maybe there's blood mixed with sand. I'm sorry to sound very vivid. Who cleaned your wound? And if they did, are you cleaning another's wound? We are not all meant to be on the platform or the pews are our place. Maybe we don't get the pulpit, but you have a stage, whether it's at work, where you're a leader or a manager, and you get to know your staff beyond telling them what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Do you ever make it known that you're interested in your staff for 5 minutes? You don't have to know everything, but you need to know, hey, you married the heir. How are your kids? Great. How are you doing? Great. And that's it. You notice if there's a wound, or your staff member comes to work and their sleeves suddenly are too long, you know, and you're wondering, it's summer, why are you wearing a sweater? You might be shocked that this person has suffered domestic violence. It happened to me, but because I was observant. How are you cleaning the wounds of the people you work with? A lot of times, and I think this is why I struggled to call myself a coach or a mentor. I didn't know what to call myself, was because whoever I got involved with, I didn't just give them tools. I needed to give them the resources, like if it was a therapist or whoever needed to clean those wounds for them, so that even the work that you're doing, you're not just doing the administrative or management work. You're also doing a spiritual healing. As a person with invisible illnesses, life is very, very lonely. But I love solitude, but I do need people occasionally. But I'll tell you the truth, nobody cleaned my wounds but God. And a couple of people who were atheists, when they found out I was not well, my friends who were atheists, and I call them friends because our debates are huge and long, but they still haven't converted me. And I talked to them about my God. The young man who picked up the one who'd been wounded went and paid for the inn, had him cleaned and fed. When do you, as a servant leader, step in and visit a friend or a fellow church member? A lot of times people just need you to step by or come by and say, hey, I just wanted to see how you're doing, sit with you 2 hours and leave. Because maybe their mobility is affected, the pain in their body, the people with lupus and fibromyalgia is horrid. And they just need you to stop by. We have a custom where I come from, Kenya. I'm not seeing it in England, where you do not go to somebody's house empty-handed. You may buy some milk, some fruit, And then you walk in and stop by and see a friend. That's how the innkeeper spent his money. We don't know how rich he was or how poor he was. He then cleaned him up and left him safe. The people you work with or the people you influence, how safe are they in your hands? When Jesus met a woman at the well, he didn't condemn her. He didn't ask her many questions. He just asked her, "Where's your husband?" Now, you know, when you meet the Messiah, you just go tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He didn't condemn her. He didn't judge her. And the next thing, she was a whole evangelist. How many times have you ever picked up the phone and said, "Hey, girl, hey, dude, I haven't seen you for a long time. What's going on? Yeah, can I pass by?" Because you don't know what people are going through. And you, if you know it and you've experienced it, be the Samaritan. Be the one who's different. The one who says, "Hey, can I pop in? Sit with your friend or your family member or your workmate for 2 hours. Talk about everything, nothing. You know, watch a movie. Keep them company." But the key thing in the Samaritan's story that I loved was he told him, "I'll be back," like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm sure he did. A lot of us who are wounded healers are outcasts, because once we are wounded and we start healing and heal, we cannot live any other way than being our authentic self. People who understand pain and suffering are the best teachers. And you're the one who will teach the next person. Servant's heart demands sacrifice. Servant's heart means that you don't think about yourself. It means that you bind the wounds of others, not in public, but privately. Thank God in the days of Jericho, there was no social media. You know, can you imagine this guy from Jericho on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, telling a story? "Wow, do you know, I met this guy, he'd been wounded. This is what I did. A servant's heart does not talk about what they do. They just do. We are in a very interesting time in the world where we no longer have conversations. We have apps where we share stories and talk. We send our friends texts or messages on whatever format that you're using. We do not talk. That Samaritan, that outsider, that outcast sat on the bedside with a person who was wounded. We live in a world where there are very many walking dead people. They are looking for hope and they are waiting for you. Because you, the overcomer, know what it feels like to search for love and understanding, or just somebody to sit next to you and bind your wound and hide your wound. And also be assured that this person will come back to check on you. Jesus was a very interesting man, a rebel rouser. And that's what I like about him, because I'm like him. Anything that does not work for me, I am going to cause a whole lot of havoc about it. But he tended to the wounds of others privately. He raised a little girl privately. He dealt with the woman with adultery privately. We have to cultivate a culture where we help, but we don't need to put it on social media. God sees, and God will reward you. For you, whose wounds have not been bound by another, I pray God sends you a helper, somebody who will see you on the roadside, lying down, crying for help. Because there is nothing worse than the cry of the soul. And the soul always needs the Creator and another. If you're an outsider, or have ever felt as an outsider, like that Samaritan man, understand that you are in a rare position, because you know rejection. You know what it means to be looked down on, to be misunderstood. Yet, you have been able to kneel and bind the wounds of others. A servant leader is a heart to heal. We tell our stories in part to see our healing journey. We tell our stories for another, because tomorrow you may not be here, but there will be somebody who will remember, I met this gentleman and I met this lady and they told me this, or oops, I read a book and this lady told me how she walked with God and the Holy Spirit and how she overcame. I want to send a challenge out to you. An invisible person with an invisible illness suffers a lot. Autoimmune illnesses are hard to deal with. In between the thousands of appointments you have to go to, come out of a rheumatologist, you go to a pulmonary specialist, come out from a pulmonary specialist, you go to a cardiologist, you come out from the cardiologist, you go to the hematologist. I think I have 7 consultants I see within a year. And all of this is to make sure that my body's working properly. But when I've walked into hospital, I've walked in alone. And I walk out alone. That doesn't say much about the people around me. And I'll tell you something interesting. Last year, I prayed to God and I said, Lord, I have held on to relationships that I'm not sure about. Remove them and keep who needs to stay with me. In His faithfulness, I joined a Bible study in a new church. There are 12 women from 12 different countries, African, Caribbean, and African. Each one of them has been deeply wounded. Some of us are still walking through the process. Others are healed. And God gave me 12 amazing women that I'm growing spiritually with. They understand my illness. They understand my limitations. They are the most interesting women. If you're African or Afro-Caribbean and you're on this, you'll understand. Or African-American. I once went to hospital and I was admitted and I have nappy hair. And I forgot my shampoo. And I was suffering because London has hard water. And if you don't have conditioner, oh Lord, help my hair. And I just mentioned it on our WhatsApp group. I said, please, can somebody get me shampoo? I got one of the ladies who had not even known me for 3 weeks turn up in hospital. Big bottle of aloe vera conditioner, big bottle of shampoo, and she said, please do not suffer. That act moved me to tears, because the people I had expected to stand for me or be there for me did not show up. I'm not telling you because I'm hurt about it. I got wiser. As a wounded healer, when you're working with somebody or your friend or your family member is suffering, or you yourself are suffering, look out for the people who come back. There may be 3, 2. Look out for those who come back. Even Jesus, after the resurrection, turned up. He came back for his disciples to tell him, I'm back. The servant heart is a heart you pray for and ask God to give you a servant heart, because it demands sacrifice. It demands that you do not think of yourself, but the bigger vision, the vision of bringing people into the kingdom of God. Some of you out there are doctors, nurses, architects, managers, social workers. Your representation in the marketplace is the heart of a servant. True leader is a servant. I remember one time standing and looking at my staff with my eyes squinting because they had upset me. They were playing up. And I looked at them, all 6 foot of me, and I said, look, we have a job to do. And as your leader, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want you to tell me how we will solve this problem. And we sat there and brainstormed, divided the work. And I said, I don't want to tell you anything apart from the fact, do you know that stuff you think I cannot do? I can do it. I can pick up phones. I can be a receptionist. I can be a data entry man. I can be just about everything you are. But I worked my butt off to be a manager in social care. And they looked at me and they knew, okay, Miss Madam here is very angry. But I wasn't angry with them. I was angry at their attitude. But I had to bite my tongue not to lash out as a hard manager. A servant's heart has to bite their tongue a lot, because you're the leader, you're the visionary. In your job, in your organization, in your life, in your home, you have a vision for your home. You're able to kneel and heal the wounds of your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your dad. You're not the outsider. You are accepted in Christ. The body of Christ has wounded people in our pews. And you who's listening, I'm asking you to ask God to show you who needs your help. Your story is needed. Your knees are needed. Your hands are needed. Sometimes, and I always tell people, and I'm going to tell you, it's not about coffee or the money you will spend. It's the time you take to sit across a person in a hospital bed, in a house, maybe in a coffee shop, giving the ear, listening, not necessarily giving an answer. but also binding the wound of your people. When David, who knew he would be king, found Saul in a cave, he could have killed him. Nobody would have blamed him. But David said, no, I can't do that. It is God who has anointed him. You are empowered, anointed to reach out to another. And I can promise you this, God has a sense of humor. That the person you pray for to help will probably be the opposite of you, from a different nationality, things totally different from you, even if they're Christian or not. And then you're going to discover that you need to grow your gift of patience and the gift of long suffering and the gift of not judging, because the person will be different from you. Like the Samaritan, and the Jew. I want to challenge you, and as I challenge you, I'm challenging myself to develop a servant's heart, a gentle heart, a heart that reaches down to pick up another, a heart that sacrifices for another. Let us cultivate a habit of not just texting people, but picking up the phone and talking to people. FaceTime. We got every app in the universe now that can FaceTime. Or call a person and say, hey, are you in on Saturday? I want to drop by. Or even when you're working on your own stuff, take care of yourself and say, like I do, little lady, you need to get off the computer and take care of yourself. Sit down with yourself. Love yourself. Because you can't love an other before you love yourself. If you're a coach and you're a Christian coach, let us serve knowing the vision that we were given. Wipe the tears. Raise the dead. Because I said we have a lot of walking dead people. So wounded that they have stopped feeling. Tell them of the love of God. Bind their wounds privately. The Good Samaritan story inspired me, because leadership is not always the suit. The person who kneels down and knows that humanity needs another human. That's just me for today. I always welcome people to join. So if you ever want to join in, please join and let's talk about this. So just going to remind you, take care of yourself, your mental well-being. Do something good for yourself this week. Take a chill pill, listen to some classical music or whatever. Dance, have a facial. And don't forget, as a leader, God has given you and empowered you to see the bigger vision of binding the wounds of those who are suffering. Don't be afraid to sacrifice, because God sees it. So you take care of yourselves. Have a fantastic week. And I, the Royal Duchess of Kenya, living in England, is off to bed. God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you peace. Take care of yourselves.